Glad that you are with us today. Pumped that you're here. If you are new to Believer's Chapel, we welcome you. Man, we keep it simple. We're worship and we're church. God Almighty created the universe, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, died on a cross in our place for our sin. It's amazing. That deserves to be worshiped and praised because He is God and Christ is our King, deserving of great thanks, deserving of great worship, deserving of great praise. We believe this right here is the absolute truth. And that's our deal, man. That's who we are. So we are pumped that you would spend a Sunday morning with us. Thank you for the faithful, the BC faithful. Week after week you come, and week after week you return, and you're just pumped and ready for life to be delivered through the Word of God, which is alive and powerful. Pumped that you are here. Thank you so much. Hope that you are feeling blessed this morning and a part of this church. Folks, had a great week this week. If I could have my queen, please, stand up, my bride. October 16th, which was Wednesday, was our 20th anniversary. Isn't that amazing? Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. She has no choice but to be with me forever. So she said yes, and that was it, man. That was the deal. But gang, I tell you, please hear this. I am a blessed man, and I am amazed. I was amazed when she said yes. I'm like, oh, I got her for life, man. She is mine. This is great forever. And I was so blessed and so pleased. From the moment, literally, I saw her turn the corner and come down that aisle. I mean, life changed. And that white, I mean, I still remember the white dress when I first saw her coming down that aisle to be with me forever. Man, I buckled. I was like, ho, 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 look at this. And I tell you what, we have had 20 amazing years. I mean, incredible years. You go through seasons, but guess what, gang? You go through seasons together.
That's right.
And I tell you, this thing is absolutely true, that it gets better and it gets better and it gets better. And I am pumped. If the Lord would tarry, what we have for the next 20 to 40 to 50 years and what God has planned for Renee and I here in this region and what we're doing. Gang, she is my helpmate. She is absolutely the one who continues to charge me and push me and encourage me and continues to just get on me to preach truth. I mean, I preach truth, and if I don't, I'm telling you. So you're blessed. I'm telling you, please hear this. You're blessed that she's my wife because she keeps on me to continue to push in the call that God has put on my life to be able to minister truth in such a way that is effective. And I'm telling you what, I'm so in love with this woman, and I'm so blessed that we have such an incredible godly relationship. It's pure, it's godly, it's amazing, and God has continued to do something through her in me. And it's a powerful, powerful, not me, not her, but us relationship that God has blessed. Honey, I love you. Come on. Folks, give her thanks. Hallelujah. She's amazing. I'm a blessed man. I married up, man. I was good to go. I said, oh, she said yes, and done, finished, complete. Hallelujah. Come on, we're in a series called God Meant What He Said, kind of a power-packed title. When you hear a title like that, you kind of have to buckle down and get in and prepare to hear what God meant what He said. And for the next 3 weeks, listen, a lot of churches talk about specific things, and that's their specialty, or whether it's money, or whether it's this, or whether it's that, or whether it's this. When you hear a message, you know it's going to be probably about this, or it's going to be just about that. Some talk just about money. Some talk just about the Holy Spirit. Some talk, if you're in a church that talks more about the Holy Spirit than Jesus, careful. Some churches, and you come to this church, we built this church based on building strong families and strong relationships. You come to this church, you do hear a lot about marriage. You hear a lot about husband and wife, because you know what I know? Is when they walk down the aisle and you say, I do, and you're married, that is a 7 days a week, 365 days a year, every minute, every breath of your life that you're married. When you're in a married relationship, folks. So this is something that affects us every angle when you're married. So it's something that I feel that we need to hit on over and over and over in a way to encourage, in a way to build, in a way to equip, in a way to recognize who we are in Him in our marriage, and to know again and again and again what God has said, the one who has created the institution of marriage. Well, we should probably go to Him and see what He says, seeing He is the creator of marriage. This is going to be 3 weeks. And God meant what he said when we are to honor marriage. And we want to go into what God set the standard for marriage, not mankind, what God set the standard for marriage. I'm asking you, please be consistent. If you are married, you need to hear this. If you are a young adult in college, you need to hear this. If you are a teenager, buckle up, you got to hear this. Start right, stay right, end right. Start right. So many marriages end wrong because they didn't start right, folks. That's just the real deal. That's flatline truth. So many people who got married should never got married. And it ends disastrous. And please hear this. Please know this. I am only talking to the marriage that you are in. I understand divorce. I understand how difficult that is. I understand that there's a past. I understand the different things of, it has been said, I am grateful and thankful that I've not experienced either, but it has been said, the loss of a child and a divorce are two of the most awful, devastating, disastrous things that one can go through. So I am speaking to the marriage that you are in. Please know that. And I'm speaking to the marriage that you will be in one day. So please, please hear this morning. Let's ask God to speak to us. God, we need you in this. God, I need your help in this. Please, God, speak through me. Deliver this in such a way, God. Christ, you have spoken so much about marriage. And God, you have spoken so much about the unity of marriage and the covenant of this relationship. Father, please, open our ears to hear from you today. God, open our eyes to see what we need to see from your word today. Holy Spirit, that you would deliver this message in such a powerful way. Holy Spirit, that you would pinpoint every heart that's in this place. God, when they leave this place, it was you delivering a message to them. Holy Spirit, that you would just fire this into the heart of man today. And God, that we would just come hungry week after week after week, come hungry for your word. Folks, I ask again that you would ask God personally, God, speak to me today. I need to hear from you. God, I need this today. Husband, wife, young adult, student, teenager, please ask God to speak to you. I need this today. I need to hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm on two places this morning. As we kick into this thing, man, I got 25 minutes, so bear with me. Going to cruise. Hebrews 13, Genesis 1. Turn to Genesis 1. We'll be there in a minute. If you can't find Genesis 1, this is your first day ever in church. Awesome. God bless you. Genesis 1, very first book of the Bible. Genesis 1, and then we will start at Hebrews 13. Come on. Hebrews 13. And I want you to see this because this is a place where God declares where he values marriage. Hebrews 13:4 says marriage, that institute, that God is the one who created marriage. We're going to get to that in Genesis. God is the one who created marriage. It is amazing to me that in the very, point number one of this, in the very roots of creation, is when God created marriage. When you think about this, created marriage, day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and day 6, God creates the absolute institute of marriage between husband and wife, between a man and a woman. God, from the roots of creation, intertwined within creation, God puts marriage right in the middle. It's incredible, folks. So here we got to recognize that God is the one who created marriage. And this is what God says, Hebrews 13:4, that marriage is to be held in honor. Highlight honor, underline honor, circle honor. Get to a point to recognize that God is in a place to hold marriage in a place of honor among all. Among how many? Among all. God, the great creator of the universe. God, the one who has created marriage. The very institute of husband and wife coming together as one. That's God's idea, his plan. He created it. And he says, in regards to the word honor, please write this down. That means something that is held in the highest regard. That's what that word honor means. Something that has a place of value, please hear this, that you cannot put a price tag on. That's where God puts marriage. God says marriage is something that is held in the highest esteem. Marriage is held in the highest regard. Marriage is that institute that is so valuable that you can't put a price tag on it. A serious question is our view of marriage on that shelf where it is of highest regard? Do we hold our marriages in a place of high regard as where God has placed marriage? Marriage is to be. Well, then is it? Marriage is to be held in a place of highest esteem, highest regard, something that has such great value, you cannot put a price tag on it among all. Among all folks that is married and non-married. So the serious, when we get into this, God meant what he said. Marriage is absolutely extremely valuable and honorable. That's what God meant. And that's what God said. So where is marriage for you and I? Do we put it on that shelf of highest esteem? Folks, if you are married, I hope that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is absolute top relationship of your whole world is Christ. And you know what's second? Your husband or wife. Your spouse comes, that's where the order is. Now please, let's look at this. Genesis 1. Number one of this message, it is marriage is deeply rooted right in the roots of creation. Genesis 1, verse 26, this is day 6 of creation. When we see this, folks, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Look at this. This is amazing. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, and created them. Now look at this. He created them, male and female, and he created them in what? In his image. Please hear this, gang. When you recognize that both male and female were created in the very image of God, that screams that male and female have equal value and equal worth in the eyes of Almighty Great Creator God. This just absolutely destroys the theory that men is superior to women, and men get this, and women get that, and men. Gang, when you understand the very first page, when you understand Genesis 1, in absolute day 6 of God's creation, he said, I have made male and I have made female. Both of them were made in my image. Both have equal value and both have equal worth. The amazing thing is then Scripture breaks down the different roles of a husband and a wife. But the idea that both were made with great value and both were great equal in regards to the eyes of God because we are made in his image, but our roles are different. And in that, we'll talk about that in a couple weeks. To recognize God meant what he said in love and respect in a marriage. It's going to be powerful. Genesis 2, please. Man, when you see this, gang, it's incredible. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Verse 24, Genesis 2, 24. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Look at this is God's eternal forever plan from the very beginning of creation. How long did God institute marriage, gang? It was on day 6 of all of creation. God created marriage. So when you begin to recognize how long has marriage been around since day 6, who's the only one that could have created marriage on day 6? The creator of the universe. And you begin to understand that his plan was this. For this reason, and I believe that this is a prophetic statement. God is speaking to the marriages that would, all marriages that would follow Adam and Eve. Because Adam and Eve didn't have a mom and a dad. Adam and Eve had God the creator that picked up dirt and breathed dirt and there was man. And then put man to sleep and shredded man's side and pulled out a rib. And then created woman. And then you have male and female. God Almighty, the great creator, has done this. And then he says this. From this time forward, please hear this. For this reason, man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined. That's where joined. Your version may see and cleave. This word cleave, it means to be glued or cemented together that cannot be separated. Powerful. And they became one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed. Folks, when you begin to break this thing down and you see that God holds marriage in the highest regard, a matter of fact, He holds it in such regard that it was a part of His creation of husband and wife on day six, and it is intertwined in the very roots of creation, I would say that that is absolutely wow factor to where God puts marriage. And number two to this is an equation that we see in this. Listen, I'm not a great math dude, all right? I got a calculator on my phone. It works awesome. Love it. You would think that God Almighty, who knows all things, who cannot make a mistake, could do simple addition. All right, Mark 10 says this, please. From the beginning of creation, Jesus takes us right back to Genesis 1. Jesus takes us right back to Genesis 2. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees coming to Jesus. You can read this in Matthew 19 and Mark 10. You see that they're testing Jesus. They begin to ask Him about marriage. Oh, we're going to trap Him in marriage. We're going to trap Him in divorce. And we're going to see what it really says. And we're just doing this as a test. And right before this verse, verse 5, Jesus said, listen, Moses granted a certificate of divorce based on your hardness of heart. You know what your hardness of heart is when you stiff-arm God. Your heart has become so hard that you put your hand out and reject truth and you stiff-arm God. And then He says this, yeah, but from the very beginning. Let's go back to creation. Let's go back to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. But from the very beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother. Two shall become one flesh. One plus one equals one. That's God's mathematical equation. That's what God has said. When you have one and then you add another one between husband and wife, God says that equation equals one. There are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, therefore, what God has committed, therefore, what God has cleaved together, let no man separate. Gang, when we begin to understand the place of honor in marriage before God who created it, He said, I have joined you together. Yes, we get a certificate from the state. Yes, we come to the church and we get blessed by the minister. That's fantastic. God's the one who builds that covenant. God's the one who joins the union between a man and a woman. And God is the one who, that word here, when we recognize the very work of God in a marriage, it's a covenant, committed, binding agreement between a man and a wife, in which not by contract by the state, but by covenant by God.
Amen.
And when you begin to rearrange your thinking in regards to a piece of paper that says you're married by contract, when you see that these pages say you're married by covenant, Malachi 2:14, you don't have to put that up. Malachi 2:14 declares that our marriage is by covenant by God. God joined together.
Amen. Thank you.
Let no man separate. And you begin to rethink this thing and where God's standard is for marriage. God's the one who put this thing in covenant binding agreement together. One male, one female for life. And please understand this. When you recognize that two become one flesh, so therefore they're no longer two, but they are one flesh. Gang, when we understand that there is such power in the unity of husband and wife, I sit down with married couples all the time, and I begin to declare to them, do you realize the authority that you have as husband and wife? Do you realize the power that you have as husband and wife? Do you understand where God says it's no longer about you, and it's no longer about you, but it's about us. It's not your bank account, and it's not your bank account. It's our bank account. It's not your house. It's not your house, it's our house. It's not your kids. On certain days, they're Renee kids when they really screw up, right? They're not your kids. They're not your kids. They're our kids. And you begin to recognize that life truly in your marriage, when you understand the power and the effect of two becoming one, it's not about you. Could you imagine what would take place in a home when the husband said, it is about my wife's desires and it's about my wife's needs and it's not about me. I will put myself second just as Christ did. And the wife says, it's not about my needs or my desires. It's about His needs and His desires and I will put myself second as a servant. That's what I will do. Could you imagine what would take place in a home and a marriage set up by God where two are now one and you walk in such a relationship that it's really not about you. This is how great my wife is. Here I am having fun with her, And I'm just reminding her of what an amazing man I really am. And this is true, right? And I'm talking to her and I'm reminding her, this was just yesterday. And I'm all excited. I'm declaring, honey, you have got a stud of a man. And I'm just bragging about my life. And then she looks at me. And this is funny. If you've been here for 2 weeks, you will get this. She looks at me and says, Sean, the new you's not about you. I'm like, oh, come on. I mean, just, oh. And it ended my bragging rights. So it was just funny. That's my wife. But gang, could you understand this, please? Could you please get where God says when you are functioning together as one, there is such a power of unity in that function. When you begin to realize, folks, and I tell this to married couples all the time, you are not married to your kids.
That's right.
Your kids will come, and oh, praise the Lord, they will go. But you are not married to your kids. You are not married to your job. You are not married to your finances. You are not married to your hobbies. You are married to one, and that is your husband or your wife. And when you begin to recognize, please hear this, when you begin to recognize that you begin to function in life together, when you begin to understand that even though we go through a financial issue, we will go through this thing together. When you begin to understand, even though we're having a child issue, we will go through this issue together. Even though we're having a job issue, we will go through this issue together. Even though we're having a people issue, we will go through this issue together, because there's not an issue that you will handle by yourself. There's not an issue that you will handle by yourself, because there's no longer you. And there's no longer you, but this is us. And we will do this life together in anything and everything that this world has to throw at us. We will do it together as one. That's the power of one. And that is the unity that God declares. There is no longer you and you, but it's us. Gang, when we begin to understand, even in our time of prayer, even in our time of declaring together as husband and wife, getting before the very throne of God, there is such a power in that. Matthew 18, 19 and 20 says this, please write this down as husband and wife. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, that is prayer, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Do you get this? Husband and wife, on your face before God, where Jesus Christ just declared in Matthew 18 that if two of you come together, husband and wife, there is such a power and such an authority in unity when you get before God Almighty and you're serious. You get past your Cheerios prayers and you get past your breakfast and dinner prayers and you do business with God together as one. Christ declares, my Father will hear that when it's His will and His kingdom and to be done here on the earth. God Almighty, listen, through Christ Jesus, please hear this. Two of you together on your face crying out to God for your finances. Two of you together on your face crying out to God for direction. Two of you on your face before God crying out to God for your teenagers and for your kids. Two of you on your face crying out to God for whatever you need to ask God for. We do it together. And Jesus said, listen, this is the amazing part. When there are two doing that, I'm in the midst.
Amen.
Do you see? I don't see another bond, folks, in Scripture on a human level that is more powerful and impacting than a husband and a wife that have become one. When you know and you can tap into the authority and you tap in the power of one, the power of unity, declaring before God, it is no longer about this or that, it's about us coming together before Almighty God, knowing that when we do this, Christ Himself is in the midst. That's amazing. That's amazing when you see that there is such power when two become one. And when you begin to break it down and you have the ability to lose yourself and you have the ability to ditch your own desires and put them above your husband and your wife's desires, and you have the ability to ditch that, and you come to grips to say the greatest one is the servant. Wouldn't that be amazing? If we honestly declared the greatest one in my house is the one who serves the most. I'm not much into competing in the home, but wouldn't that be a great competition? Based on love, on who really serves the other the most, I bet you'd have a pretty good home. Because that'd be a pretty great home based on what the Word of God says. Point three of this message is very serious. Listen, we don't say the enemy is bigger than he is. We don't say the enemy is smaller than he is. We know we face a very serious adversary and enemy. But we know we have great, amazing victory in Christ and the cross. The Bible says we overcome him. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. That took place on the cross. We overcome him through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Gang, you got to understand something. Please hear this. Why has there been such a struggle in marriage? Why and when did this fight begin? That marriage began to, and I'm telling you, I'm going over this week. Is this a spiritual battle or is this a spiritual war? And I begin to look into war and I see battles are a specific part of different wars. And I look at this and said, this has been declared war from the garden, folks. This is not a spiritual battle. This is marriage now is a spiritual war. And when did that begin in creation in regards to Adam and Eve in the garden? That's when this war began. When the enemy came to Adam and Eve in the garden to do what? To disrupt the very first marriage of the land. Why does enemy hate? He hates you and he hates me. Why? Because the Bible just declared in Genesis 1 that we are created in his image and he hates God and he hates anything created in the image of God. Look at Ephesians 5. I want you to see this. Please. This is significant, man. This is huge. For this reason, again repeated, man shall leave his father and mother, joined to his wife, two become one. The mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Listen, gang, please hear this. Marriage held in such a place of honor is a representative of what Christ is to the church. Why do you think the enemy wants to derail and begin to discredit and begin to, right from the very beginning, right from the garden, begin to destroy the foundation of marriage? Because it's a picture of Christ and the church, and he hates Christ and he hates the church, and he will do everything in his power to try to destroy that picture that through marriage, God says, we set up. People look into your marriage, do they see what they could have with Christ? When people look into your marriage, do they see something that is a system set up that references Christ and the church? Folks, we got to really see something this morning very clearly. That we are fighting, Jesus has fought. But Jesus and the Word of God declares that you and I are to be on guard. And you and I are to be very watchful. For Christ has already overcome the enemy, folks. But that does not give us the right to lay our arms down. That does not give us the right to let our guard down. Because over and over he declares you better be watchful. Because he's like a roaring lion who is seeking who he may devour. Gang, do you recognize, you understand that he is trying to get his evil little foot in your home. He is trying to bring a wedge between you as a husband and wife. He's trying to do everything he can to destroy the very foundation of marriage because he hates marriage. And when you begin to see that this is not a battle of the flesh, but this is seriously a very deep-rooted spiritual battle. Look at this, Genesis 3. You're still in Genesis. Look at Genesis 3. We see this, man. We go over this often because it's the beginning of sin. This is where the fall took place. So many times we come back to the beginning. And we see this, the enemy shows up, God Almighty declared to the man, declared to Adam, don't eat from the tree. Enemy shows up, goes to the woman, and then just declares, hey, look at it, look how beautiful it is. Here, take it, and here, the cheese ball, Adam, is standing right next to Eve, folks. When you begin to see, yes, Eve took the fruit, Eve did, she ate first, and then she did this. Hands it to cheese ball, who's standing right there. God gave him the order not to eat. Now listen, at this point, they're naked and unashamed, okay? She's holding the fruit. I highly doubt he's checking out the fruit, right? I mean, he's like, come on. I mean, look at this. And she says, here, honey, eat. Oh, sure, honey, whatever, you know? You know who's equated for the sin? The man. Because God gave him the instruction not to. And here, look at the result. Look at the content. Again, you got to see this, man. This was the first marriage on the planet, the very first marriage. And the enemy attacks it. The very first thing the enemy attacked was this union between husband and wife. Isn't it amazing that he went right after the wife? Men, Isn't it amazing that you see that he approached the woman? And Adam stood by and let it happen. Men, when are you going to stand and guard your wife and stand and guard your home against any attack the enemy may have? Because when he gets his dirty little feet in there, there's two consequences. The Bible says this. Please hear this. I want to read this to you. You got to see this, and then we'll cruise out here. Please hear this. Then the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you, God, in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." The very first thing that came was shame. And then he turns around and he blames Eve. "It was that woman you gave me." Shame and blame. The very first attack that the enemy put on marriage was shame and blame. And it's amazing to me that the enemy went right after the woman and Adam was standing right there, folks. How many times do we stand right at the gate? How many times do we stand right at the door? And we open the door and we let the enemy right in. And he goes right for our family. He goes right for our wives. He goes right for our homes. He goes right for our kids. And we just stand there. When God Almighty declares, "I have put marriage on the absolute top shelf of value and highest esteem. And it is up to you and I as the men of this home, you and I as the husbands, to protect and guard and to be watchful and to be very aware that the enemy will do everything in his power to try to get into your home. But we overcome him, not by our power, but by the blood of the Lamb. And we walk in victory in our homes because of what Christ Jesus has said. And we do it his way. If you are single in this place and you are not married, please, please lay aside anything or everything you've ever been taught that is not this. And you better begin to recognize, please, start right, stay right, end right. How many marriages has ended in disaster because they started in disaster, because they didn't start on the foundation of the Word of God? Please hear this. If you are a teenager, start now. Get it right now. Yeah. And understand what God says about marriage and relationship. If you were in college and you were going over this and you're thinking, "Who am I going to be married? I've got to make some decision. This guy or that girl or this girl or that girl and this guy. And I got to make some decision on exactly who I am going to covenant relationship with for the rest of my life." I am begging you, please make a right decision based on the truth of God's word, on their love for God. The Bible says, "An excellent wife, who can find?" Men, hear this. If you have an excellent woman who has a great reverence and a great fear of God, that's what Proverbs 31 says, then you better hang on to her. Because the way I read it, she's rare. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. And it is the fear of the Lord in a wife that should be praised. Gang, please hear this. When we honor marriage in the way that God honors marriage, we will have a marriage that continues to have peace and love and joy. And we have a marriage that we understand the thought of unity and walking together as one. Let's just bow our heads, please, and I want you to hear this. Grab the hand of your wife or your spouse. If there has been an issue you have allowed to come between you, whether it be a financial issue, whether it even be a bedroom issue, whether it be a child issue, a teenager issue, whether it be a job issue, whether it be somebody else who's trying to weed their way in. Man, I'm asking you this morning to understand that there is such a power in your unity and there is such authority when you agree together that we will get through this together. We will begin right now, to come to a place to agree that we've overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. And this day forward, he takes no more ground. This day forward, we work on removing any influence that's in our relationship that causes separation between us. This day forward, things change. Things change. Two become one. And we will walk that out, and we will live that out, and we will breathe that out, and we will recognize we are going to do this thing together. We are going to get through this issue together. We're going to get through this circumstance together, up or down. No matter what it takes, we will get through this together. Because what God has joined together, let no man separate. Isn't it amazing that when you set you aside, then maybe you begin to see things a little more clearly? When you in Christ have the ability to remove self and to remove things that you see and say, this is no longer about me, but it's about us. It's about this marriage. It's about this union. It's about this covenant. It's about what God has joined together. And we will let no one and we will let no thing have its way in our home. We will have no one. Please hear this. Please hear this. We will have no one. That includes you. If you're the husband who isn't doing what God's called you to do, that means you. If you're a wife who refuses to do what God's called you to do, that means you. We will let no one. That means you may have to change. And we will let no thing interfere with the covenant that God has joined together. And we will begin from this day forward. Please hear this, folks. I believe this with everything in me, that one day in church can start a course that changes life. I believe the Word of God is that powerful. And our King and our Lord and the Creator of the universe puts marriage in such a high place. I'm just simply asking that we do the same. And change, please hear this, it takes some work. It takes some work. You need to be ready to do some work and lay down self. And please hear this, when you become in unity and you walk in the authority that God has called you to walk in as a husband and a wife. See, that's when God begins to truly move. Because the Bible says, husbands, if you are not honoring your wife as you should, 1 Peter 3, then your prayers are going to be hindered. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that how we treat our wives affects our prayer life? Affects the unity of our home. And here we're begging God for something, and yet we're not treating our wife with honor. And yet God clearly declares, hindered. Can't hear that. Hindered. Check on how I said marriage. Check on how I said treat your wife, honor your wife, love your wife. Hindered. Isn't it amazing that when we truly begin to walk as one, my Father in heaven will hear. My Father in heaven will hear your cry. And where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. Wouldn't it be a changed home if husband and wife began to declare, this home will have the presence of Christ because we will walk together as one. Father, we are amazed this morning. You have so much to say in your word about marriage. Father, I'm asking that we would begin to recognize how you have placed marriage of highest value. And that God, we will honor marriage as you have honored marriage. And we believe you meant what you said from creation to Christ's return. From creation to Christ's return. Now today things change. Today there's change. Today there's change. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, let's give them thanks this morning. Man, I'm begging you, please, please stick with me in this mini-series in the series. We continue to see God do such an incredible work between husband and wife. Tonight, great night. Ladies, please, great night to fellowship, great night to hang out. Come sing with the voice you think you have. Awesome. Cry out in karaoke and have a blast. All the phones will be recording. Please don't put those on your social media. We don't want to embarrass anybody. But come have a great time tonight. Please, please. Ladies, get together. Get to know one another. Great time of fellowship, great time of karaoke. Please be praying for us as a team. This week we're going into Pittsburgh to the university, and we're doing a worship and word night there. And we're going to have an amazing, amazing time in their chapel. And we're going to just bring the presence of God to their chapel. And we're going to come out with the scripture and the word. And they're doing an amazing job on that campus. That Bible group just continues to expand. Every time we go over there, we see growth. And it's just awesome. So please, Tuesday night, the 22nd, we'll be out there ministering and having a great time. Brendan, the team's going to be going out. And we're pumped about that. We're excited to get on a campus. And the Pitt at Brad students mean so much to us. And they are just standing in truth and declaring the word of God on that campus. And we're seeing some cool stuff take place. Guys, I love you. Thank you for allowing me to be your pastor and to preach. I know that someone said this is Pastor Appreciation Month, Yahoo. Listen, love the cards, love the emails, love the texts. It really is a privilege to lead this crew of people and set a charge to advance our King's kingdom. So it truly is an honor to be your pastor. And I am so grateful and I'm amazed by your kindness and your kind words. All I want to do is be effective. That's it. Because I know if I'm effective as a communicator, a pastor of God's word, that means God is doing a work. And it's only Him that can do a work. And man, I love you and I thank you so much. Folks, please have a great week. Come on.